Welcome to Hot Off the Press, a podcast that provides knowledge and emotional support for new and aspiring printers. I'm Jillian of Studio Soprano.
And I'm Mariah of Mariah Creates, and we are two letterpress printers who believe in sharing our knowledge and learning together.
We're here to help bridge the gap between antique printing methods and modern design.
So hang up your apron,
put down those palette knives,
and let's get into what's hot off the press.
Hey guys, so today we are bringing you a very special episode that we recorded together in person with our guest. We are so excited to have Mary Bruno on today, and we just wanted to let you know that this episode does have some explicit language in it. It is absolutely hysterical, but if you are listening with little ones, you might actually want to put on some headphones or wait until later.
Yes.
But it is so great. So without further ado, let's get into it.
Yay!
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Hot Off the Press. We are actually both of us here in Minnesota today.
Yay!
She has just arrived, and we are in St. Joseph with Mary Bruno of Bruno Press.
Hi, Mary. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us at your shop. We both walked in the door and immediately were like, it smells like a print shop in here. So we're both stoked to be here. So,
yeah,
it's like overwhelming in the best way. I wish that I got to walk into a space like this every day.
Man, I feel like sometimes I take for granted, you know, but then once I'm reminded through people, other people's eyes, like, holy shit, dude, this place is magical. I'm like, oh yeah.
It really is.
I got a little studio space this past summer in Hopkins, and Jason Yeo has some of his typecasting stuff there. And that's how I found out about it. And it has my little nameplate next to like my suite number, you know? And every time I walk in, I'm always like, holy shit, I have a space that's just for me. This is so cool. Like, it's tiny and it's like a little crowded because I have too much crap in there, but you know, that's the name of the game. But every time I walk in there, it brings me joy.
Every time
I unlock that door and the little Mariah Creates. Also, yeah, it's hard to remember that what we get to do is so freaking cool. So
yeah,
for sure. Yeah, I love this space. And like, even just being in St. Joe, this is a place that everyone likes to spend time. You know what I mean? Like, people are always stopping in, which can be to my detriment, right? Like, I'm trying to fucking work here, people.
Yeah.
You know, you can see my whiskey collection, and it is a good space for just hanging out. And mostly creating, but also just all of it. It's, yeah, I'm super grateful for what I have.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
So how long have you been in this studio here?
Okay, so the origin story?
Yeah.
Yes, give it to us.
Okay, so I have to go back a little bit, you know?
Please do.
All right, so it all started. We're the Brunos. We're from Pennsylvania. So, and my dad, you know, he was like a graphic design. He was a... like, he got his master's at the Philadelphia College of Art, and he got a teaching job here at St. Ben's. Okay, so we're living in Philadelphia. He gets a job at St. Joe, Minnesota. And so we moved here. This was like, I was a wee little lass, you know, this was like 40 years ago, you know, and this house wasn't even built. We lived on campus while they built this house. So he taught in the art department at St. Ben's for maybe 8 years. Then he worked out at the liturgical press at St. John's, which was like a publishing for religious, yada yada. He designed books and blah blah blah, and all the while he was this designer, you know, that he designed a lot of shit around this area, which is really cool. Then he taught in the art department at St. Cloud State too for maybe 15 years, and that was like design, typography, all kinds of shit like that. And so I guess I'm not like super sharp on the timeline, but I feel like it was maybe, you know, mid to late 80s that he was hanging out with a lot of letterpress printers because he was freaking type nerd, you know, and he loved old machinery and blah, blah, blah. And there was still mid 80s. There was still plenty of people that were printing like regular printers. And so, you know, whenever the shift happened, maybe late 80s, when, you know, offset printing or whatever came next, everyone was like, well, this is garbage. It's obsolete. So they were going to just fucking pitch everything, and my dad's standing there going, hey, can I have this? And they're like, dude, if you can move it, it's yours.
Yep.
So this was just a little one-car garage, and over the course of a summer, he built on that half. You know, big windows, basically built around the presses. You know, since he was a designer, he like cherry picked the type, you know, kept the families together, blah, blah, blah. And then had this instant print shop, just the one side. And so I spent time in here with him. I was always like an art, you know, and I loved everything my dad did. He was really into silkscreen. He was fucking badass, to be true. But like then, you know, I did some post-secondary stuff and I was really into design. And then I went to St. Cloud State pretty much free because he was teaching there. And I was really into taking all the art classes, you know, and I think I really thought of myself as like a fine artist. And so I was like, design is not my thing, you know, because I'm a painter or I'm whatever. I just, you know, at 21, right? I totally thought,
yeah,
I know better.
Damn, yeah.
You know, but so I was an art major and I was going for like 5 years. And I think my advisor was like, you know, you could graduate. And why the fuck would I want to graduate? Like, school rocks.
Yeah.
I'm just a learner, right? Yeah. I just want to do shit and create. And it was great. And I think I was pretty convinced that art, unless you're going to teach, is always going to be a hobby, right? Or a side hustle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, yeah, whatever. And, you know, I think that my parents always, like, instilled in me, like, good work ethic. You know, I was a kid that wanted Guess jeans, and they were like, we'll buy Lee. And I was like, fuck that, I want Guess jeans. And so I had a job delivering papers when I'm like 13. I mean, so I understand how to make money, and I just never really saw art being that,
right? To do that. Yeah.
So graduated from St. Cloud State finally, moved away to Madison, Wisconsin. Not too close, not too far. You know, I wanted to be able to still
come weekends.
Home. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I was already into linoleum carving. Like, that was my jam. So I'd come home. Yeah, once or twice a month and carve and print with my dad. And I was like trying to get shows here and there, just like friends that owned galleries or that owned coffee shops, blah, blah, blah. And so, yeah, I worked 100 million different jobs in Madison. Like, again, because I can work. I've been a bartender for 25 years, but I've also literally worked every job. I do kind of want to write a memoir and talk about, you know, camp counselor, cake decorator. Like, I've fucking done it all. I've also been fired a million times too. So I'm super desensitized. I don't fucking care.
No one can fire you here, right?
Right. Exactly. But so 2003, my dad passed away real suddenly. So 63, you know, super young and healthy. That sort of came out of nowhere. And I think that was like the first time in my life, like, I was like, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? And I think it was, yep, I'm going to go back to St. Joe, which at that time was not super exciting, right? Like, fucking small town, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But I did. And well, I moved to Minneapolis first, thinking like, oh, I'll stay in the big city. And, and that didn't fucking work. Yeah. But so yeah, I came back and, you know, obviously it was tragic and it sucked. It sucked being in here, like, with everything just kind of left. Yeah, yeah. And so I would drag my, like, you know, 14-year-old niece in here saying, you know, just try to kind of, like, reclaim, you know. And we just started printing swears on cards because there was no adults around, you know. Like, they're hilarious. And I would say that the first thing was printing funny cards, you know. And, you know, 17 years ago, not everybody and their mother was doing it, you know? And so, and I'll look back, just like you were saying, at some of those, I mean, early. First, oh, yeah, you know, atrocious, really bad, but funny.
Yeah.
Funny. The right. Funny's always there, but the design was horseshit. The printing was horseshit. Yeah. Like,
oh God.
And, but the cool thing was, you know, there was a couple stores around this area, like Electric Fetus. You guys have one in the cities, yep. Just like independent, right? And a little bit edgy. And I had some friends that were buyers and dude, we could carry these cards. That's interesting. Because again, I was just
trying to figure out where.
Yeah. I didn't actually think it could do anything. But so they started carrying some of my cards. And I remember one of the big things that I thought was so cool was I went in one day and they were like, oh yeah, we wanted to let you know that some of the cards, you know, in the dressing room, there was some sleeves. People have been fucking ripping them off. And I'm like, oh, I'm there. You know? I thought that was pretty cool.
I've made it. People are stealing my shit.
Young kids are fucking stealing my shit. But anyways, so then, you know, one of the big things I did was design my logo. So my logo story is right behind you. Grab that thing. Yeah. So the
little... I was gonna ask. I wonder. Okay, great.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So that rooster was my dad's logo. I never really got to ask why, but again, the design took a while and some really horseshit interpretations, but finally ended on, you know, having his logo be at the sort of heart.
Yeah.
Of, yeah. Right. And I'm the awesome kid. I mean, and I still get people like, what are you, a chicken farmer?
No. In this neck of the woods, for a real possibility.
No, I like chickens.
Okay.
I don't
just
have any fucking
just
chickens.
To visually describe it, it is a chicken.
A chick.
It's a chick. It's right? A little chick, like a little young chick with a rooster inside.
Like, yeah, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the
and
dad
it's
and
so
the child.
Cute.
Like,
yes.
Yeah,
so
and
beautiful.
Like it all starts from him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have any of this shit.
He's at the heart of it.
Yes, exactly.
It's awesome. So beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So that was
so
like,
great.
That was kind of me being like, I could have a fucking business. This could be something. And so, you know, in the beginning, it was doing people's wedding invitations, brave people that trusted me for whatever fucking reason to
we
design.
Know those kind of people.
Yeah. 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 And some of them were kind of lovely. And, you know, between the invitations and the cards, things were starting to happen. You know, I still had regular for the man jobs for a long time. You know, I think I came back in 2005 and I fucked around and probably quit my last for the man job in 2011. So 2011 till now has been me living off of just press, which is fucking cool, right?
Awesome.
That's the best.
But yeah, so the cards were my breakout. And, you know, in the beginning, I was doing art fairs all the time, right? That was the thing. I don't know if people do that a lot anymore. I don't know. I feel like art fairs are so saturated now. Like, it's hard.
I don't think people do, like, a whole circuit every year. You know what I mean? Like, I think people kind of pick one or two now.
Yeah.
That's kind of what
I do my local ones.
Yes.
And that's it.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to, like, pack up my car and go.
But
right.
It's not, like,
it's fucking
going
brutal.
To every single one every
It's hard
weekend.
Work, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, back in the day, these art fairs, I would fucking clean up. And I was, like, baffled, you know? And the cool thing, too, was trying to figure out my demographic.
Yeah.
You know, I'd always be really nervous when, like, old ladies would come up. I'd be like, I'm about to get yelled at. But they would be, like, fucking leaving with stacks of them and just handing me tons of money. I'm, like, fascinated, right? So, you know, humor is fucking humor.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. And I feel like I'm kind of across the board, too. Unisex and age and whatever.
Yeah.
So then, I started doing the trade show in New York, the stationery show.
Mm-hmm.
Did that for a bunch of years, maybe 2010 to 16. Met a lot of people in the industry. Like, that's bench pressed, right? Your shirt?
Yeah.
Yep. Yes, sure is.
You've been there? You know those guys?
I took her there.
Yeah. And so you know them?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're lovely.
Yeah. So, I don't know them super well, but I would like to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a small chat when we were in.
Yeah,
Andy and Jane are lovely. So we got to know each other at the stationery show. Multiple years, we would band together. So it would be Bruno Press, bench pressed, Power and Light Press, do you know Kyle, and Pixies and Porcupines. And we'd be this four-fecta, and we'd get our booths on four corners,
awesome.
So we'd just fucking handle that
have
place.
Have your own little block.
Yeah, and we would have, like, cocktail parties, all illegally, right? We'd just fucking serve our buyers booze and pizza, and everybody loved us. So we loved that, but maybe I'm going too fast. That's, like, the trajectory.
I love it.
Yeah,
just skyrocketed to fame with
and you know, like,
boost.
It the cards were like breaking into money, right? Like, and one of the coolest things was, you know, I don't remember when this would have been, but probably around 2010, 11, 12, I had like some reps, you know, like, and I mean, she would fax me orders, fucking fax. I didn't have a fax machine, so I had to go
get a fax machine.
No, a friend of mine ran a daycare and she had a fax machine. I'm like, bro, can I have my gal?
What's the number?
Yeah. So I'd get faxed orders, and this rep, she was up and down, you know, from like Southern California all the way up to Oregon. And I made so much money off my cards.
She hustled
for like,
cards.
It was like 2 or 3 years, and then she fucking retired.
No.
What a selfish. I was like, yeah, oh,
rude.
You're free. He couldn't push out. He couldn't push out 10 more years. It's very selfish. But yes, of course, bless her. But that was epic. After her, it was never like that again, you know? And I know we did the stationery show for a lot of years, and then it just started to feel like saturated too, and always chasing and spending, fuck, the amount of money we spent. And Don't get me wrong, going to New York for a week and partying like an idiot.
With people who like the same things you like. And
Oh, come on. Yeah. And like, I am a great rich person. Like, I could fucking blow through money and party like an idiot. And then I would just come back and I'd be like, that's a little excessive. I don't know that that's paying, you know, for
feast
itself.
Or famine, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
Come home and eat some ramen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it was great. And getting to know people in the industry, you know, it'd be interesting to hear what you guys thought. So kiss and punch, you know, that like debate, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, raised by a classic printer, kiss was like the only way you fucking printed.
Yeah.
You know, like that, you know, meaning like the amount of pressure on paper is like a kiss, and that's perfect printing. And that way you don't fuck up your lead or wood type. Yeah. You don't, you know, you're being very respectful, blah, blah, blah. So, and I was maybe a little bit more than a kisser. You know, I was maybe like a hard makeout. You know, I wasn't a punch.
Nibbler,
yeah.
Sloppy kiss.
Yeah. Nibbler. That's good. But so I had all my shit set up at the stationery show, and everyone would come into my booth. First thing they'd do is take their fucking greasy hands and run it over the cards.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, whoa, what's happening? And they'd be like, you know, you should really letterpress print your cards. And I'd be like,
oh, yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about? And so
the public perspective change.
Totally. Yeah. Well, there, what people thought letterpress printing was punching the fuck out of paper, which when you looked around at 95% of the printers there, which again, I don't have an issue with, but 95% of printers are printing with polymer, right? Mm-hmm. And when you're printing with plastic,
as much pressure as humanly possible,
you punch the fuck out of it and you get big, thick paper. Blah, blah, blah. You can see from across the room. Oh, yeah, it's got a punch. You know, and I wasn't doing that. And it was so interesting having people be like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And I'd never heard that in my life, you know?
Yeah.
And what was interesting was, again, I'm at the stationery show with 100 million other card makers. And my little wackadoodle line that didn't look like fucking anybody else's did really well. Do you know what I mean? Because,
right.
like, and maybe this was just a titch before everybody was balls deep in social media watching.
Yeah.
I just, for, you know, 6 or 8 years was just printing shit that I thought was funny and using French paper and colorful envelopes. And I didn't get the memo that everybody's using Crayon Lettre, you know, pineapples are trending, fluorescent ink. You know, I didn't get any of that. So it was really interesting being there and having these buyers be like, what the fuck is this? You know, oh, I thought I was buying from them, but I think it was that, you know, like everything else kind of
was interchangeable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was accidentally a lot of my success, total fucking accident. You know what I mean? But that was really interesting.
True to yourself. Yeah. Like, and we've talked about this a lot, but we're firm believers that when you're creating for yourself is when you create your best work.
Yeah.
Without a
In
doubt.
In any creative field or any medium, it's always like when you're doing something because you love it, or you're doing something because that's what you like, that's usually your best work. Like when you get like a client who's too like, I really like this font better, or like, could we just make the logo a little bigger or whatever it is, you know, like there's always some kind of feedback that's too much, and it's like that's when shit starts to look terrible or look like everyone else's, you
totally.
know.
Yeah, I've sat through so many like seminar coaching programs on business because I have no background in business. It's very ballsy of me to just be like,
good day.
I'm just gonna do this. So you know, to fight off that imposter syndrome, I've sat through a lot of business, you know,
sure,
even like run by creatives, and they're all like, you gotta research the market, you gotta research the market, you gotta know what people want. And it's just like, the more I look at what's already on the market and what people want, the more I freaking hate the job.
Yeah.
And like, I would so much rather just be like the other day I was creating a card, and like, all I could think about was like fun rainbow shapes, and like, it, like not just doing the traditional like arch rainbow, but like taking a rainbow and like kind of warping it. And then I started thinking about a Formula One track that's really popular.
Always back.
And I was just like, okay, what if I'm like pulling inspiration? And like at the end of it, I had this really cool like overprint looking thing that started from the idea that I could just think about rainbows. But I just challenged myself because I'm like, everywhere you look, you see like those little bohemian rainbows. And I was like, if I print a card with a freaking bohemian rainbow on it, I'm going to go crazy. So I just had to like keep pushing and pushing. And like, I'm so stoked. I just placed the order for those plates, but I'm so stoked to print that card. And I wouldn't have been happy with if I just like printed the rainbow, you know?
Yeah. And on the subject of accidental success, like, I feel like a lot of times, like, I'll be like, oh, like, I one time was ordering a whole bunch of plates for clients and a greeting card I was planning. And I was like, I'm going to throw these little flowers on there and just, like, print some, like, random little note cards. They're, to this day, my best-selling product. And it's, yeah, like, I keep reprinting them. I keep making more of them. Like, dude, if I hadn't ordered that, like, little tiny-ass plate with those four little flowers on it, like, where would I be? You know, like...
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think sometimes, like, forcing it is where you get into trouble. And when you just, like, let it come, or, you know, you put your blinders on and you just keep doing you, then hopefully you'll have better luck. But, yeah.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with how you talk about, you know, yeah, of course, in my fucking 5 years at St. Cloud State, did I ever take a business class? Of course not. Which, again, what the fuck was I studying? I have no idea. 5 years, that's a lot of credits.
My mom begged me to get an MBA, and I was like, what would I ever use an MBA for? Like, I was so certain that I was never going to need a lick of business information in my life.
It's fascinating. And I do believe that, like, and, you know, I have had to learn all this shit by doing it, right? And fucking it up 10 times first, and then being like, oh yeah, that's gonna sink in now. But I have said that a million times, that my target demographic is me. You know what I mean? Like, does it make me laugh? Fucking done. Yeah. Good, proceed. You know what I mean? And if there is anything that, you know, I could tout as, like, you know, oh, what's the secret? I would just say that that's what it always has been. And whenever I've tried to step out to be like, oh, this looks like, because I have, you know, can't say I've 100% done, you know, my own shit, but, like, I've seen, oh, that's trending and that's where we're, and it always falls fucking short. Yeah. You know, but it is fascinating to just do what you're thinking about, and it very rarely lets you down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. What comes naturally to you is what you should pursue, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. It is hard though when you, need to make money.
Fucking E.
It's so
really sucks.
It really
fucking money.
Having
clothes.
I mean, like,
I'd be so much happier if I just inherited generational wealth.
So I
exactly.
I, you know, we were talking before we started recording about the effects of the pandemic, and one of the things was that they were giving out small business loans, the government. Great terms. And so I took one because I was just like, yeah, I can barely, like, make ends meet. I 100% meet the criteria for this, so I'm going to apply for it. And in that same year, I was like, oh, I'm going to move into, like, a warehouse space and rent it. And, like, sure enough, few months later, have blown through all that money, had, like, barely anything to show for it. It was just like, well, what I've learned here is that money is actually not my problem. Having money is 100% not my problem. It's, like, just, you know, other things.
Okay, but when you're super, super broke, you hustle 10 times
harder. That's it.
I swear,
yeah,
to God. I swear to God. Like, when you're like, oh no, I have to pay this X amount of money by this day, what can I do to make that money? At least, like, for me, I don't know.
Okay, but I would say something to counter that just a little bit.
Yeah.
So, and I've been at this a little bit longer, and I've fucking crashed and burned 100 million more times. But here is an interesting thing. I think I have all of us have some fucking trauma with money, especially if we're not already millionaires, right? Yeah. I'm sure they're fucking all fine with money, whatever. But the rest of us, you know, I think about my dad and how he did business, and I think about my mom, you know, because it, you know, all about our parents, yada, yada. But, like, you know, my dad was a professor, and when he did work, I don't think he valued it. I think he got paid with cases of beer oftentimes, or, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Some new type.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Whatever. Yep. And I think, you know, that made my mom the opposite, right? Like, we've got two kids, bro. Like, we need to be doing some more shit, whatever. So I think that I've always... Well, when it comes to, you know, running my own business, I've been a little bit scarcity, right? Like, gotta keep working, fucking do it all. Like, I need, and kind of reeking of desperation. I think I ran on that for a long time and said yes to everything, and did not stay in my lane at all. Oh yeah, because there's that other thing. I don't know if you guys get this, but, like, when you're this creative, you can fucking do anything, right? Like, oh, do you paint mailboxes? And I'm like, $100?
Yeah.
Then why not? I can figure out how to paint a fucking mailbox, you know, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I have gotten asked to do everything, and I have done paint murals. I mean, like, on and on and on. It is ridiculous, the shit I have done and pulled off. you know, all in the name of money, right?
Yeah.
But so what I've learned is, like, the more I say, that's not my wheelhouse, you know, here's the number of someone that does that, you know, my buddy does that, or go to Kinko's or whatever the fact may be, like, the more I've started to, like, cut the fat and keep on the shit that A, I enjoy, B, I'm good at, like, the money has sort of, like, been there in a way that it never had before.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That, like, and not to get all new agey, but, like, you know, that sort of, like, if you believe, then it, there is something to that.
Yeah.
When, absolutely. When you stop sort of living, like, fucked, I'm desperate, I gotta fucking turn tricks on the corner, like, blah, blah, blah. The more, like, yeah, like, things just start to,
yeah.
And, yeah, and, like, the empowerment of saying no to shit and not being a dick about it, but, like, you know, yeah, that's not actually what I do. And here's some information if I want to. Otherwise, I'm just like, did you even
Google this?
Do you know what fucking letterpress is? You know, and for years, I thought it was my fucking duty to educate every fucking mouth breather that walked in here.
Yeah.
I really want to support local, and I want you to do my wedding invites. I want to spend about a penny a piece. And I'd be like, let me figure out how to work with your budget. Like, what a fucking idiot, you know? And now I'm like, your budget and what I do are nowhere in line.
Different,
like,
you planets, yeah,
literally go online and print them out yourself, man. Like, you can't have it both ways. And I think the more that I've grown into, like, starting to value what I do, right, the more that sort of come back. Because, I mean, I've been angry for so long about how people think they can negotiate everything with me. And I'm, do you do that with your fucking accountant?
Yeah.
Do you say, well, here's about what I want to spend. Bitch, this is how much it costs. And after doing it for this long, you're paying for my experience, you know, and blah, blah, blah. Like, I think I'm slowly starting to let go of this, like, anger with everyone kind of, like, wanting to chintz creatives, right? Well, all you do is sit in your shop and have fun all day and make balloon animals and, you know, like, you know, it's actually fucking work. And I'm here.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
24 hours a day. Yeah. My brain is working all of the time.
It's a lot of work and it requires so much knowledge.
Totally.
Like, so much, like, you know, having kind of a background in sort of graphic design, because even though I was an interior designer, I mean, most of what we do is, like, in the graphic realm, right? We draw the CAD drawings, we create renderings. It's all freaking on the computer.
Yep.
So all I really had to know was programs on the computer and, like, how to pair good colors together.
Mm-hmm.
But running a print shop, you know, last week I'm laying on the floor underneath my platen, like, underneath my press, leveling my platen. I'm, you know, learning all these different tools and things. And then on top of it, also having to know how to run a business, how to be a good social media content creator, how to be this, how to be that. And so it's like you become so knowledgeable about so many things. And yeah, people have a really hard time appreciating. Although they're very quick, like you said, to ask you if you could do X, Y, Z. Like, things that are not even remotely on your
website. So you guys get that too?
Oh, 100%.
Absolutely. Okay. And also, it's like, I think it's so funny because you're like, did you go to Google, type this thing in? Like, where did you even get that?
The bare minimum.
Where did you get that idea?
Yeah.
And, like, we talk about it a lot when we print for other designers who are not printers.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be like, oh, like, this is the wholesale pricing, right? Or, like, can you send a photo before you mail it? It's like, would you go to Kinko's and be like, can you send me, like, a photo of my print job before you print the rest of them, like, as you're running them on the press? No, they would never do that.
Yeah.
They would never photograph their work for you to get, like, a final approval even after all the supplies have been ordered. Like, no. It's really interesting how people just, like, because you're an individual, like, one person running your business, or because you're a small business of any type, people think all of a sudden there's all this, like, extra wiggle room. And it's like, no, actually, I'm working 20 times harder than the owner of FedEx. Like, that guy is, like, off on his private island somewhere. Like,
right.
You know, obviously, you're talking about his Kinko's employees. Like, yeah, it's crazy. But yes, we absolutely can relate to that. That's, I think, real for so many people.
Yeah. And even the idea of, like, losing a bit of the desperation. I mean, Mariah and I are both very early on in our careers as printers, but the past few years we've run ourselves into the ground with taking on projects we either didn't even have time to do, really, or didn't even, like, we haven't done that exact thing before, but it seems like we can do it. And so we take it on, and then it becomes a freaking nightmare. And then
you spend 10 times as much time on it,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So much money.
Yeah. And just saying yes to pretty much everything again, to like not even just pay the bills, but like to, you know, create a portfolio. But the truth is a job that you don't like to do and that you would never want to do again. It's not creating your portfolio. Like yes. You're never going to tell anyone yes. that you've done this.
Exactly.
And so
you're certainly not doing your best work either.
Yeah. So we both have started establishing boundaries recently around, like yesterday I sent a reply to someone who contacted me about invitations and it sounded like she pretty much should just go to like Minted or Zazzle or something. But I just started the sentence off with like, oh, it's so exciting to hear from you. So my invitations start at XYZ. Let me know if that's within your budget and we could talk more about letterpress and details. Like I wasn't willing to explain anything about the process.
Because you don't, that's fucking time again. Yeah. It's time again.
It's time.
Yeah. Like I was saying, I feel like I thought it was my job to fucking educate everyone out there. And guess what? I ain't got fucking time.
Yeah.
I ain't got fucking time. And like even the people that walk in here still, I don't know if you've made the cut yet, you know? Like and so everybody wants to know what's going on here. I have an open house. Mm-hmm. That's 3 hours. When you can come in here and mouth breathe and ask all the fucking questions, yeah. I got all the time for you. Other than that, do not fucking show up here. Don't come here. I am working. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you wander on your dentist's office picking up tools?
Correct.
No, I hope not.
Yeah. Exactly. But I think that it took me embarrassingly long to get to that point, but that's exactly where you should be. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, and I want to share stuff like this so that young folks like you coming up can learn, benefit from my fucking fuck ups. You know what I mean? Like, don't wait 12 years to figure out boundaries with people. Like, good Lord, what a waste. You know what I mean? And I think that it's okay to say that and people can hear no. And mm-hmm. especially when it's like, blah, 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 like put a little fuzz in there and hit send, you know, smile emoji. Good day, sir. You know, like, and 90% of the time those people will disappear and they're fine. They don't have anything bad to say about you. But like, you know, I used to just spend so much time on this shit with these idiots that I just don't want to work with. And they don't value it. They can't afford it. And, you know,
yeah. To me, what was a hugely like impactful moment around this is when that person that nitpicked me, that did all these crazy things, that was very difficult, came back for another project. I was like, oh, fuck. Now I have to work with them again.
So did you?
Yeah, I did. But it was only a couple times before that relationship ended. But it's like, oh, no, now I've created this like level of expectation and I've totally shot myself in the foot.
You said something to me the other day that was pure freaking genius when I was working on, I had that request about the large scale foiling. You said, if you keep making magic happen, he's going to think you're a magician.
Yeah.
Because I have this time, like, I will try to figure out whatever it is that comes out of his brain.
Last minute for super cheese.
Super last minute. Actually do. And it's not something I do, but I'm always like kind of curious because the question will be there. And I'm like, can this be done? So like a little bit of me is just ever so curious. And Mariah was just like, if you keep.
God, that's fucking good.
Yeah. And it's so true because, again, it's a client who like things have not always gone well. Bad words have been exchanged from their end to me. And yet it never fails. They come back and want something again. So it's up to me to set the boundary. Like first it was just setting the boundary, like don't text me about your work, email me.
Yeah.
And like
baby steps.
And actually reply to my stuff on my forms so that I know where your reply is.
And I
instead
get the
of just like
I need.
Yeah.
There's a reason there's a form. God.
Yeah. I've learned like a lot of boundaries, but I think the biggest boundary is just like don't work with this client.
Yeah. I think like so last year was a great year for me business wise and I like really had a lot of exciting projects. I had a lot of business. I had, you know, some really great successes last year. I also almost like just died from being so stressed.
Yeah.
I was so miserable. I was so unhappy. And I was like, you know, I travel a lot. I had a lot of work. On the outside, it's like those things are all really cool. Like, wow, it must be so great. Inside, I was just like, do I even want to do this anymore? My now husband was literally like, I don't even know if you like what you do. And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, my husband said that to me too.
I was like, oh no. Like,
interesting.
So this year is for me all about like, I've definitely been saying no to shit that is not in that laser focused thing that I want to be doing. And I've been like, yep, nope.
Yeah.
I'll go reach out to this person or I know this person does that or whatever.
Good, like, good.
I send the quote that is what I want to be making for the projects. And you say, I'm like, bye-bye. Best of luck.
Yeah. Bye.
Good luck. I hope it turns out great. Yeah. I really do. I really hope it works out great for every one of you. But I will not be doing it. And I will not be compromising. And like this year, I'm just trying to like find that balance point, you know, between what works, what pays the bills, and what makes me happy. And that's, it's hard, but hopefully we'll get there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so boundaries this year is the theme.
That's been our, yeah, that's been our theme, boundaries, yeah, for sure.
I also feel like talking about it is good too, don't you? You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah,
with people that are further in the game and fresher in the game and all the things, even just other entrepreneurs, right? But I just feel like, because here's another thing that was interesting. Some of my old printer guys, like I have this buddy, Andy Common, him and I worked on a calendar for 10 years and fucking awesome. Some of my best work, but, and he's like an old school printer. He's in Western Minnesota and he's got a cool little print shop. We met at MCBA. He had a line of greeting cards called Bad Andy Cards and hilarious, good stuff. Super like dad humor kind of guy, but we're bros and you know, he will come and work on my presses sometimes, blah, blah, blah. But I would always, well, not always, but I'd kind of bust his balls a little bit because he would sort of set this precedent for people like, you know, oh, I only charge this and I, you know, I just did it for him and blah, blah, blah. And I had to be like, okay, bud. And for the longest time, he had a real job, right? And that's just like people that have, you know, a rich husband that try to do this
in the garage,
right? Like, and I get a little fucking sensitive with that shit when I'm just like, okay, honey, calm down. Like, because if you are educating the public to believe that art is fun and free and, oh yeah, just go have it, like, blah, 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 you are fucking me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The person who's trying to live off this, because those are the people after they get your free shit and you talk their face off for 6 hours and tell them come by any time and they can just take shit. Then they come here and they're like, what? I just thought, you know what I mean?
Rules. What do you mean? There are rules.
Right. There's like, I had to sort of be like, when you price shit, you think about me, dude, you know, like stop giving this stuff away. And especially when, oh, I, you know, they had $250 and I decided to make it 9 colors, you know, and I'm just like, stop fucking doing that, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, There has to be some consistency, you know, a little bit.
Yeah.
Right. And if you, I mean, you get to do what you want and charge what you want. But, you know, if there's people that are having fun and just constantly giving shit away, it just is harder for the rest of us a little bit. Right.
Yeah.
I recently had somebody, another printer was unable to work with someone's timeline. So they asked if I could do it. They sent me the information. And when I sent my pricing, the referral was like, oh, and I was like, oh, this makes me worried for how much that original printer was charging for this job. Like, you know, like it makes me worry, like, oh no, if I'm charging what I think is fair and they're getting sticker shock from another, like from having come from another printer, you're like, oh no, what are they charging? It's obviously not enough.
Like, in fact, the first time I came up to Minnesota, we spent an entire almost 24 hours
a whole day,
sitting in her kitchen going through all of our pricing so that if we send jobs back and forth to each other, our clients aren't gonna know difference.
That was around the time that you were getting ready to go to Aruba for your wedding, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, if I'm out of town or if something happens and I need my print job to go somewhere else, I'd like to send it to you, but
I want to pay what you're gonna, but what
either,
you need to pay.
Yeah, but either way, we need to both make money off of this. Mm-hmm. And I also need to be able to pay if I'm unable to do this job, right?
Yeah.
Like I need to be able to cover the cost of outsourcing if I have to, like emergency, travel, etc. Like I'm not working for myself just for grins and giggles. I'm working for myself so that I can build a life around that. Like, you know what I mean? And so that was where we ended up, like, let's just get together in a room, both our computers, two calculators, and let's hash it out.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I was just like, here's all my data on how long everything takes me.
And I'm like, what? No.
That's impressive.
So my husband, he's an engineer, but he's a freaking Google Sheet nerd. And he loves to like, he's like, just track all your time and data. And he makes all these forecasts and trending things. And like, a lot of it kind of goes over my head in one way or another. But at the end of the day, like the final product, I'm like, okay, I can actually see that the prices I was charging like even a year ago were barely covering the time that it took me to actually do everything because I am just one person. Like even when we were here before, earlier, And you told your intern, like, okay, now clean this up. I'm like, oh my God, just being able to tell someone to clean up my ink tray. It sounds so luxury.
Yeah.
Because, like, at 5 a.m. when I woke up to get on my flight, I was like, shit, I didn't clean off the press. There's ink on the press. I didn't clean up my little ink station. I'm pretty sure I have an ink can that's still open. Thank God I use rubber-based inks. So, like, I'm up at, like, 5:15 scrubbing down my shop.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I definitely was thinking, oh, I'm going to have to stop by my studio maybe on Saturday. I'll take Jillian with me. And I was like, oh, I definitely left a mess in my studio. She's going to see it. Damn it.
That's fine. My studio is always a mess.
I know. I was like, well, then, oh, man.
That is one of the coolest things that I have going for me, small town, is, you know, I've got 3 colleges within 10 miles.
Yeah.
And, you know, they, at all times, even in the summer, I have at least 2 interns. And, like, you know, it's interesting because I've gotten people, you know, well, do you pay them and la, la, la. And I'm like, first of all, especially, like, with young generation folks, I mean, they don't even have jobs before they graduate college, which is foreign to me, right?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. And I'm always like, what are you putting down as references? Like, your mom? Like, who do you have
yeah.
that would know you in a professional
yeah.
capacity? You know what I mean? And so, like, I know, and also whether they're business majors or writers or art majors, whatever, and I've had them all, you know, they're like all the way into my business. And when it comes to clients and orders and everyday shit and printing and design and blah, 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 they get to see it all. And I know that's awesome for them. And I get help, but, like, they're not just my bitches, you know? Mm-hmm. And for every time they're cleaning up ink, they're also printing and they get to design and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so, like, I know that it's a good thing, but it's also helped me get 10 times as much done as a one, right? Like, as a one person. I've had employees here and there, nothing ever full time, but, like, you know, I've hired people that have graduated and blah, blah, blah for, like, periods of time, which is lovely. But the intern thing is fucking great. It's a time investment, you know, but once, same thing, like, once I have a framework, you know, and then I have interns training and other interns, and, you know, I mean, it's, these are great skills.
Yeah.
You know, when people come, they have to, like, interact, and when I go do things, they have to, you know, represent. And I mean, I know that it's, like, it's good. It's good for them.
Yeah.
So yeah, the intern thing is
totally amazing. And just being exposed to different thought processes, different ways of working, working for someone, all of that is good exposure, regardless of where they end up in the world or what they're working with. And if they never touch a press again,
right,
it has nothing to do with, you know, what they've learned necessarily. So
yeah,
it's valuable anyways.
Whenever I meet a younger person who has really adequate exposure to printmaking of any kind, like, the jealousy I feel at the depths of my core, because, like, just none of this was even on my radar when I was younger. Like, I did tons of jobs, like babysitting. I worked at an ice cream, like, snack shack thing. I was a lifeguard. I did all, like, it never occurred to me that, like, I could maybe seek out a local print shop, which Bill ended up being my mentor later in life. He's back in Pennsylvania in my hometown. He runs a print shop. He inherited it from his dad. Had I just even had that on my radar, Bill would have gladly taken me in and, like, showed me the ropes from any age, probably. Yeah. But it just wasn't. Like, it just totally not something that I crossed paths with until I was older. And I'm like, man, I wish I could go back to even college days. When, like, you have an entire, like, art school at your disposal, yeah, and you're not worried about, like, rent or
yeah,
bills,
debt,
or anything,
car payments,
and you're just, like, using whatever tools they have. And yeah, like, what a freaking amazing opportunity for every young person who comes into contact with that.
Yeah,
I think that, you know, I look back at all the millions of jobs I've had and all the different random shit that didn't lead. I mean, you know, my trajectory was fucking whack, you know, but, like, I do think it was a little bit like Karate Kid, you know, like, why do I gotta wax all these cars?
You know, yeah. Like, you're learning something.
Absolutely. You're learning something, man.
That's true.
You know, and even, like, I think about, you know, wanting to follow directly in my dad's footsteps, having know what I know now then, right, that he was gonna fucking pass away early, like, what if I would have stayed? What if I would have, you know,
yeah,
Like, maybe by now I'd be fucking burnt out. Maybe I'd be like, fuck letterpress.
Maybe just sell it all. Or
burn it down. You know what I mean? Like,
Or even
garage good and day. Just take it with you.
Or even doing just like job work instead of all the amazing, beautiful, creative things that you do. Like, you never know.
Or taking all those art classes and learning those other mediums and skills that, you know, like, maybe if you had studied business and done something practical, where would you be, you know?
Agreed. I just think, like, because I start to do that too. God, if I would have. But it's just a slippery slope, and I don't think it brings anything positive to the table. You know, I don't. I mean, like, I'm really impressed with you guys, and I'm. I mean, this podcast is already like fucking wow. And what the way you talk about the dedication of your listeners, dude, that's. That kind of chokes me up. That's beautiful.
It chokes us up.
It chokes us up all the time.
So you must be doing something wrong, and you're frustrated with the right shit. And, you know, like, everyone's like, oh my gosh, I feel that. You know, like, like, what if you'd done everything right? People would be like, boring. Fuck you.
We're all about being obvious and transparent with our, like, we don't know anything, but we're going to figure it out. We're
not
gonna tell
experts.
You what we figure out along the way.
That's awesome.
We say it all. It is in the theme song of our podcast that we're not experts.
Literally.
And I don't ever really want to be. Like, I love learning and learning and learning. And we were talking about the windows. I said, like, once you feel like you've mastered something, shit goes wrong. And Mariah's reply was, you've never mastered anything. And I was like, yes, you did. And I was like, it's so true. You didn't say it as you as in pointed me. You meant you as in the universal you. Yeah, like, there is no such thing as just
you're
mastering.
Just like, listen, pal.
And I'm like, no, but that's so true. It's like,
brilliant.
You, like,
got
I
some nuggets, man.
She really does. She keeps me going on a day-to-day basis. But I... Yeah, I'll be like I said, I only have my one press and I print on it all the time. And so there gets to a point where I'm just like, you can't throw any surprises at me. And the very next plate I put up will just something wild is happening with it.
Like, that's awesome.
That's all I need.
Well, and let me just tell you, too, like, and however many years deep I am, that like, and I know not to get cocky, like, oh, this job is going great. Like, if I ever fucking even think that.
Yeah.
You dumb son of a bitch.
Yeah.
But like, I have called like my, you know, Amos Paul Kennedy. Do you know that name?
Paul Kennedy.
Amos Paul Kennedy. He's, well, I'm going to drop some names that you guys have to get on. And but anyways, he's a guy. I have a couple guys that I call sometimes fucking crying on the floor. Like, I am fucking done everything. I fucking hate printing. I'm thinking about starting a dog walking business. And, you know, and like, in most cases, 99% of it, they're like, clean up, go home, go the fuck to bed.
That's what I do. I literally told her
like,
to have a snack yesterday.
Stop. Like, and every time it's better. And like, troubleshooting is a really wonderful like skill.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and every press is kind of a dick. You know what I mean? Like, even if 95% of the time they're great, sometimes, oh, you didn't change anything? Well,
not
fuck
today.
You. Yep. I mean, and it is everyone at every level and every press, I promise you, is the same. And so, like, you have to work on your patience. You have to have a good night's sleep. You have
to
have food
away.
In your belly. Yeah. And then you have to know when to clean up and start over.
Yeah.
For sure. Like, it is a real thing, and just stopping sometimes. But I have Judith Berliner. I have a couple people. One time I was printing on the windmill, and, you know, I don't know what the fuck I did. And I'm not great at that press. That's my youngest child. And so, you know, my most recent press, which means the rest, you know, I know little sounds about, I'm still, you know, and I don't do it a lot. I don't do a ton of like mass quantity shit, you know, but it, you know how it sucks up the paper and whatever. And the last thing I was printing, it picked up like 8 sheets of paper and like seized up. I mean, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, Google, YouTube, blah, blah, blah. And I called my friend Judith, who's on Full Circle Press. She's in Northern California. You should know about her too. But, you know, she's like, it's okay. You know, first thing, just like, it's okay, Mary. It's happened to all of us, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, her and her shop guy had me on, you know, FaceTime or whatever.
Yeah.
And they were like, you need to get a, I don't remember what it was called, but it was kind of like a, some kind of big tool. And my brother had one because he's a tool guy, and he comes over and he, whatever the fuck, a Charlie bar or something, you know, we had to crank this thing and do all this shit, and it was fine. I mean, but like, it's terrifying. It's terrifying when you think about really fucking up your presses, but Mm-hmm. And I should knock on wood. It can be done, but it's, you know, it's very unlikely.
I think a lot of, like, we just did our most recent episode was on leveling the platin because it's like something that we both were like so afraid of doing.
Somebody online told me that I would be an idiot if I touched my platin without knowing what I was doing.
And there's comments on Briar Press and Facebook where people are like, don't touch it unless it's blah, blah, blah. And you're like, okay, yeah, I guess I just won't touch it.
Who's the asshole that called you an idiot? Okay. Okay.
I won't name drop. That's fine.
We've accidentally name dropped people before.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It makes it really hard to promote our podcast in the Letterpress Facebook groups when we know we have definitely called some people out.
Fair enough.
We've read some comments directly on Facebook.
Anyway,
I kind of love assholes. I kind of love that. Like, I think there should be some fucking accountability for being a dick.
Yeah.
Especially when your name is right next to what you just said.
They have no shame. They have no shame, no care, because they are 100% right in their mind.
And so they're keyboard warriors also. So
and like we're just two dumb girls who have no idea what we're doing, and we do bite into our paper, so we're not even like traditionalists. So like, go fuck us. Like, but when we did the printer's fair, a lovely gentleman, Troy, who's listened to our podcast, who we did not know, came like rushing up to us and was like, which one of you needs to level your platin? Because I mention it all the time. Like, I literally used to have to pack my press with like
sideways,
rapidly uneven.
Good buddy.
Love it. I love small talent.
Classic, right?
I love it. But yeah, so it would be like rapidly uneven. And he just took me over to a press and he was like, here's how you do it. And at first he was kind of showing my husband. And then he was like, no, I'm going to show you. So here's how you do it. And then another guy came up and he was like, and now I'll show you how to do it on this press over here too, just so you have like a better press.
And is that the thing where you move those really big screws?
Yeah.
That like.
And let me tell you, it was so simple. It was so simple, and there was literally nothing I could break.
That's the
thing. There was nothing I could break. Now, granted, I have now set it to a point where a kiss impression isn't going to happen because it is just closer. Yep. So I would not run 220-pound paper in there with a certain type of plate, like a certain size plate. I just know not to do that. Yeah. So I do understand that, like, that would be the issue.
If you don't know what you're doing, that would be a problem.
That you could fucking crank.
If you understand the basics of just what level of impression you're getting, there is nothing you can break other than maybe your face, because I did, like, I was pushing, and I went chest first into my fly-off wheel, and I was like, that could have poked my eye out if I was not in the right position. Yeah. So, like, other than possibly hurting yourself, there's literally nothing you can do to, like, break that press just from, like, trying to level.
If you have a reasonable amount of understanding of the process and stuff.
Yeah. Minimal. Like, well, even if someone just said, move them a little at a time.
Right. Yeah.
Done.
But there's so much, like, fear of, like, fucking it up or breaking something.
Something that's historic. That, like, it's a blessing for you to own.
Hard to come by, maybe expensive depending on what you've got, you know, like where you got it, etc. But, like, not something you can just, like, order another one when it breaks. Like, and there's so much fear around it. There's so many, like, naysayers in some of the comments, and the information out there is a little bit, you know, some of it is hard to digest, whether it's actually possible or if it's really simple. People are just trying to scare you away from it. And, like, so it must be nice to have, like, and now especially, like, we're starting to build connections with people who can help us when things go wrong.
And that are happy to help, right? That aren't like, oh, you dumb broad. Yeah. I mean, like,
good fucking luck.
Because the other thing, like, that I, you know, I'm hoping people are starting to get over, especially old dudes, is that, like, you know, we're preserving this craft.
Yeah.
Do you want it to die when you die or not? And that's, you know, that's been my philosophy, my vision for a lot of years. Like, I want to educate. I don't necessarily want to turn everyone into a letterpress printer. I just want people to appreciate it, right?
Yeah. And not throw away a whole piece of type when grandpa dies.
Yeah. Right. Or to, like, piece it all out as tchotchkes fucking in, you know, like,
no more. One of the
on the wall. Exactly.
The cabinet broke. That's why those are for sale.
The cabinet broke. Fire happened. Something was destroyed. I just, like, it stresses me out when I see type being just, like, displayed.
Yeah.
But you know, like, I do think that when people get over themselves, and especially because the fact of the matter is, you know, it went from 100% men to, like, almost 100% women. You know what I mean? Like, it flipped for whatever reason. I've been trying to figure that out, you know, why so many printers now are female, you know what I mean? Yeah. It doesn't matter. But the fact is that, like, you know, not a lot of these printer guys passed it on to their kids, right? A lot of them are like, fuck this, I'm out. Mm-hmm. So I think they're starting to see, like, this is exciting. There's young people and they want to learn. And I am a fountain of knowledge. I need to fucking help them. You know what I mean? So yeah. I feel like, and steering clear of those angry bastards and just finding the dudes. And in most cases, I'm not trying to like stereotype, but in most cases, the people that know this, you know,
yep.
Or guys.
Yeah, they should be happy to share it.
And we've met plenty now, but when you're just doing basic online research, you come into
all
a lot of grouchy.
Cranky old guys.
Because you know what it is? It's like the grouchy people have the time because probably nobody wants to work with them.
Yeah.
Like the very pleasant people are busy.
Those people are out there printing and making things for others.
They're volunteering at local like print museums.
Of course.
Yeah. They're going on fair trips or they're driving three states over to salvage an entire print shop. Like I think the people who are genuine are like deep in it.
Yeah. Wasn't it actually Troy at the print museum where he was joking about that? He's like,
yeah,
like you're never going to encounter somebody nice on the internet who's just sitting there commenting on random things. It's always going to be the cranky dude, the angry person, the like whoever. They're the ones at the keyboard because they have nothing better to do. Like,
yeah.
And it's.
But you go out to the fairs, you go to
the museum, you go to your local book arts like center, whatever you have. Like there's definitely people out there who are willing to help. And they may even be old white guys. You never know.
Yeah, it is true. But it is fun that like, yeah, the next generation of printers is women. And it's so great to see the camaraderie and the community. Like, I mean, obviously we witnessed it organically as we made friends, but then through the podcast, through our listeners, through social media, like every printer that we know for the most part is a young female and they are so collaborative and so kind and so willing to share resources and discuss problems and, you know, just be a community, a network.
Yeah.
And it's really, really nice.
Yeah. Sharing resources and information is so much more beneficial. Like, you know, just in the, it's like sharing your price, you know, it helps everyone.
Yeah.
We all appreciate and, you know, support people like the people who are still making Letterpress Ink, like supporting those few people who are still doing the thing that we need.
Yeah.
Like to keep going. It's like hugely important. It's not just about like politics or who these people are. It's like, no. But like, if they don't do it, who will? You know,
people who make ink, people who are still making metal type,
wood type,
the foundries and everything, like any support that the community gives to those people who are taking a huge risk on still having such a niche business,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, I'm really hopeful that this year we can get Hamilton wood type. Either a field trip or an appearance on the podcast or something. That's next on my list.
Yeah.
Do you know those guys?
I don't know, but I mean, I know of them, obviously, but I would like to make a little field trip that way, maybe this summer.
Well, I'm good friends with those guys. I've been a million times, and I'm sure they'd be happy to.
Awesome.
Yeah, they're lovely. Super lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Want to go to their Waze Goose.
Yep, I've been to that a million times, too.
It's so fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, okay, why don't we talk about what you have planned? What's next for Bruno Press? Anything exciting on the docket for the year? Any big goals? Anything wild happening over here?
So the most wild thing. So there's a couple things. I'm doing these print parties, which are really cool and fun. You know, everybody used to ask me, when will you do workshops and blah, blah, blah. And I've tried a million times to set it up, schedule it. No one signs up or two people sign up, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, fuck this. Then I try another time, blah, blah, blah. Well, so now I'm doing these print parties, which is you bring the crew and I'll have the party, right? And so they've been amazing. And like these are some of them. I just had a group of like 16 nuns here.
Cool.
And we did some God stuff, which, fucking A.
Yeah.
Let's do it. And they were lovely.
Open-minded.
They were, but they were funny. They were great.
Yeah.
They loved it. I mean,
good
like
sports.
I did this Lionel Block of the Sacred Heart Chapel,
cool.
So they went nuts for that. But you know, banks and credit unions, kid parties, 40th birthdays, Boy Scout troops, like
awesome.
It's
amazing.
It's really fun.
It's
and
really cool.
And again, like I feel like I'm doing the long game thing, which is if I can get you in here, you can understand what I do and why it's more expensive. And, you know, then they're kind of lifelong, like, supporters. Yeah, you know what I mean? Absolutely. So that's been really cool. I'm excited about that. The other thing is, over the Pandy, one of the big things I did was I got an opportunity to do a really huge project, which was I letterpress printed a scroll. Did you?
I remember seeing it.
I know it, I'm like showing you visuals.
That's okay.
No,
we'll
it's
take
fine.
Some photos as well. So.
So there's this resident potter here in town. His name is Richard Resident. And he's a really cool guy. And he does a lot of really crazy big projects. And he got a giant, like, you know, a donor gave him a pile of money. And so there's some pictures in here. Anyways, it was probably like a 9-month project that I did. And I had probably like 4 interns helping. And we did polymer because it was 30 pages of text, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to like...
Not enough interns in the world to handset all of that.
And so, you know, we printed on this Time Mulberry paper. I had to design the text, and I had this woman from the Metro, Judy Gillitz, like help me design the text of the thing. And then like, these are some of the... Sorry, I keep walking around. But it was amazing. And, you know, like,
cool.
You know, design the images, lino carve them, and then hand color them, and then glue all the pages together and put it on this wood thing. I mean, it was fucking so outside of my, you know, like what I had ever done before. You know, I've never even done anything that like with that kind of timeline. Right. Like, and he was so cool. Richard was like, yeah, you do you. I'm just like, holy shit. I have no idea what I'm doing, but it was amazing. And so at the end of it, this scroll, which is now, you know, it's like 36 feet long and it's on this wood holder. And then it's inside of a ceramic, you know, vessel. And then one of them went inside this kind of like sconce, or like what's the thing that like a time capsule, like a capsule, like, which is in this new sculpture garden. So, you know, this religious text went in there, and then all these seeds. So like if Armageddon happens, right, the last surviving humans could pop that open and, you know, start a whole new whatever.
It would be work by Mary Bruno in there.
Correct. So the cool thing is that, you know, I still have my scroll, and I've been working with a lot of these nuns, and they've been super cool. And I had it on display at St. John's University, and then it was on display at the Sacred Heart Chapel, which is, it's all about these Benedictine nuns who are literally pictured in it. You know, it's images of like the region and local artists and local Benedictine nuns, and they just love it. And they feel like it's, you know, their version of the St. John's Bible, which is another whole thing. So anyways, these nuns, like some of these Benedictines that are like big dogs in the Benedictine world, I was like, I'm sad that it's just sitting in the corner of my shop, right? Like, I want it to be seen. And so it's gonna go on tour.
Cool.
Yeah, so like I've worked out this whole display, and they're trying to gather some money so that like we can make the display portable. I mean, it's not gonna be portable. I'm gonna need a van, but like, so it's gonna start in like Indiana and then Alabama. And my hope is that like this could go on for years, right?
Awesome.
And I can just be the like,
ta-da!
Yeah. And I'll come do a little talk. Yeah. And, you know, because it was on display over the summer and there was this big Benedictine conference or something, I mean, they like are blown away by it. They love it. So that's huge for me right now. You know, I mean, not only am me like queen of swearing, like working on some religious shit, like it's
nuns.
It's kind of beautiful. So that's my big exciting thing that I'm working on.
Awesome.
Right now I'm just trying to do the back end of like, what's it going to cost?
Logistics.
Yep. So that I can tell them, because if I go do this, I want to be making some money, because I'm not going to be in here
making
working.
Whatever,
right?
You would be losing. Yeah. By leaving for sure.
Yeah. So that's a thing. And you know, I'm always trying to show it off because, you know, I finished it over the Pandy and nobody saw it.
Yeah.
You know, and it, like I said, it was the work of my lifetime. And so I'm still trying to get it in front of people to see it. But other than that, I'd say, you know, I'm doing a lot of custom stuff. Like these,
I saw those
guys. Things. They're really cool too. And people are kind of responding to that. It's cool to do stuff that's different, you know? So those are doing kind of good. And I'm ready to move out of this garage. You know, like, it is a kick-ass space. And, you know, being in the space that my dad started has been magical. But, like, I got...
You want to park your car inside or what?
Well...
I'm just kidding.
You know, like, I just...
That's not the end-all be-all, I'm sure.
I do want to do more shit, bigger shit. I have, like, you know, in my mind, you know, I want to have, like, a space that, you know, could have residencies and could have, you know, little like IKEA dorm room bedrooms, and there could be events and outdoor, indoor, and just all that stuff. So in the last year and a half, I've been looking at places and land. And I mean, you know, I don't have a shit ton of money, but I got some, and I think I've got some creative people that, you know, are like thinking about different ways to find
involvement.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that's exciting. But I'm not in any hurry, you know, because this place is kick-ass. So,
and when the right place or thing comes along, it'll make more sense. And...
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, it's so amazing to be here and to meet you.
Well, I'm happy you guys got to come here. I feel like this place must be experienced live and in person.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. I think with any good print shop, it's much more fun when you get to touch and see all the things. Yeah. But it's just a super cool space. And
so when do you do your open houses that people could come in for any locals listening?
Yeah, so I have my little thing right there. I do them like the second Saturday of the month. And so I have one coming up. What is it? March
11th.
March 11th. And then April. And I just do them like on a Saturday morning, 10 to 1. And I usually have something in the Vandercook to print and some snacks and some music. And kids love coming here. Another thing I did over the pandemic was I read books over lunch. I called it quarantine story time. I had thousands of people watching my stupid Facebook Live.
That's amazing.
All over like the world. I had people from Germany. It was kind of beautiful. But I was doing birthday parties. Like, people would hire me, Miss Mary, to come to a birthday party and just be a dipshit. And
did you ever
books.
Think like that
no.
would be?
Yeah. No, it was amazing. That's but awesome. So you know, kids come and you know they get to print and you know have some gumballs, pet the dog. So the open houses, you know, I love doing them. And I just try to plan to have something to do. So if it's slow, I'm still getting work done. You know what I mean? But
sense.
I do try to say, you know, this is your chance to come see what happens in here.
Yeah.
You know,
and kids are so fun because they're like so curious and like want to touch stuff and see how things are made. So
totally.
It's like they're just little sponges. That's a blast.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. As long as they don't drop any lead pipe, you're good.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's awesome. Cool.
Awesome.
Well so yes, much. It was lovely meeting you guys. You are fantastic. I can't wait to get to listen to all these.
Yeah.
And catch up.
Oh my God, that was so much fun. That was so much fun. That was literally like the best field trip we could have gone on during my visit. Like even if we just went to poke our heads in and like go around.
Yeah.
But it was so delightful to chat with Mary and then hang out with her a little bit afterwards.
Yes.
And she is truly like a pillar of her community.
Yeah, like, she's the mayor of St. Joseph, Minnesota.
Knows
for sure.
Everyone
yeah.
and everyone knows and loves her. And it's just like small town vibes to the max. And it's so amazing.
Yeah, it's a great sense of community around Bruno Press and Mary in particular. Like, she just has really built and like established herself in this community, but also like as a printer. And it's also been really funny because, like, obviously I live about an hour away from Mary. I had only met her, you know, for this interview the first time. But I had heard so much about her.
Mm-hmm.
And I know several people that she knows. They're just, it's such a small world and you forget that, I think. But we're really, like, we're both starting to, like, kind of make these, like, loops connect finally. And meeting Mary was, I felt like, very much connecting a little circle of people. So it was really fun to, like, meet her in person. And also just to go to a badass print woman's shop here in Minnesota. She's, you know, an hour away, but right down the road, essentially. And, like, just being able to have somebody that, like, I know is close by and understands and relates and, you know, has sources and supplies and solutions for things that I might need is huge.
Yeah.
And
We were walking around the shop with, like, the biggest eyes. We were
like
taking photos.
Kids in a candy shop.
Yeah. We're like, what? This is a new vendor for this for us? And, like, what? Look at this. What is this thing? What does this thing do?
Yeah. Like, we're like, wait, we've never seen expanding furniture? This is so cool.
And now, Mariah and I both need fucking soda vending machines.
With beer and
with beer in them. It.
Yeah. She has an amazing collection of whiskeys, which is great, but she
More just, importantly.
Yeah, she has just, I don't know, posters on the ceiling, and, like, the shop itself is super cool, but, like, yeah. her personality shines through so...
Every inch of that space. Yeah,
it covers yeah. it, and that is, like, we both were just, like, giddy. Like, obviously, walking in and smelling the print shop, and, like, you see all these cabinets full of type and presses in the corners, and, like, you feel at home a little bit. And I talked about this a little bit when we talked about the Gutenberg Museum, but, like,
yeah,
you know, when I was in Germany, I walked into the Gutenberg Museum and saw, like, smell the ink, smell the mineral spirits.
It's
and,
so familiar.
You may not speak the same language, but you do speak this thing.
Yeah.
Like, it was a really cool feeling, and I got a little bit of that vibe when walking into Mary's shop, too. I was like, ah, yes, this I am comfortable with. This I love. This I know. And Mary's obviously awesome, so we're going to have a great fucking time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have to say, like, I know I didn't get emotional in the moment because
was excited.
I was very, very, very excited. But thinking back on it, like, the connection with her dad and just thinking of, like, how fucking proud he must be.
Yeah.
Looking down and, like, what, like, not only did she pick up, like, this thing that he was passionate about and, like, carry on that legacy, but, like, she does it so true to herself.
Yeah.
Like, she's not drowning in
trying this, to appease the
exactly,
masses.
This, like, she's not drowning in this responsibility of carrying on the legacy. She's fucking carrying it on. Like, it's, like, the best purpose that she could give in life, and it's so beautiful, and it's so, like,
yeah.
I don't know. I hope somebody makes a movie about Mary because Aww. She needs it.
Next edition of Pressing On should have Mary Bruno in it. We will petition. Yeah. But and on that same kind of, like, realm, like, her logo, including her father's yeah. logo and, like, that kind of stuff. But also just, like, the way she kind of, like, wandered through art school and, like, wandered through jobs, but found direction with this print shop and this legacy. Like, I think both of us can kind of relate to that. Like, we both kind of drifted and did our things that we thought we were excited about, and they didn't necessarily turn out how we wanted them, or we didn't love them, or whatever have you.
But printing gave us purpose.
Printing gave us purpose, and it,
yeah.
you know, gave us back a little bit of that, a sense of self. And I think that Mary is super strong in that sense of self. She knows exactly who she is, what she likes, and that works for her. And, you know, just a reminder that, like, you know, if you're not passionate about whatever it is you're doing, maybe that's printing.
Yeah.
Maybe something else is just waiting for you to kind of come back to it or to find it for the first time. You yeah. know? So.
Yeah.
This got sappy really quick.
I know. I am so close with my dad. I fucking love my dad so much. And, like, dad and daughter stories get me.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot watch father-daughter dances at weddings without bawling my eyes out. Yeah. Like, I don't have to know you to, like, get really emotional about it because I freaking love my dad. And, yeah, just it's kind of interesting then to flip it and be like, I wonder if one day my kids are going to be on a podcast being like, yeah, my mom was this crazy prince woman. She, like, left her entire freaking career, and we were raised with her in the garage all the time with ink all over the place. And, like, who knows how many chemicals we came in contact while we were in utero. Like,
I'm pretty sure she duplexed and stained stuff. And yeah.
And yeah, so it's just crazy to think that, like, even
one day
though
that could be us.
Yeah, even yeah. though we're not quite walking the same line of, like, really inheriting anything from the printing out of our family, like, it's something that we could be passing down, even if it's not to our children, but it could be to, like, somebody else as we become, you know, mentors in our elder years.
Dead. I can't even fathom, but yeah.
I cannot fathom us being old at all.
We're, like, going to be those crotchety old women in the Facebook groups like, oh, well, you should really be getting more of an impression on that print.
Never. We will never be crotchety. I think we're going to be so, you know what we're going to be? We're going to be those little old ladies that are, like, wearing bright ass colors that have, like, a streak of purple through their hair.
For sure. And paint or ink on our faces. For sure we yeah. are. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
The baggy jeans covered in, like, paint splatters. Yes. And we're
We're going to be like Mamma Mia style. Like, yeah, that's going to be us.
Yes. I love it.
Awesome. Well, we're so grateful to Mary for
equal amounts of singing ABBA songs for me, because
I do love ABBA. I went through a phase a couple years ago, but yeah.
Oh my God, I love ABBA.
Yeah.
Anyway, now I'm coming down from that high.
Yeah. All right. So to wrap it up, just so grateful for Mary to, you know, she took the time out of her day and interrupted her workflow. She was printing this beautiful print of the Joshua Tree. Sunset. It was gorgeous. Yeah. But anyway, thank you to Mary. We absolutely loved spending time with you, and going out afterwards for dinner was so much fun, and we can't wait to do it again. And I will be stopping by your shop randomly and popping my head in, which our listeners will have heard in the episode when a neighbor did exactly that.
You've gained a new friend and stalker.
Yep. I know where you live. No, just kidding. But your shop is awesome. We loved seeing it, and we're so grateful for you letting us in your space and letting us pick your brain, and, you know, being so open and honest and unabashed.
Yeah,
it was a blast. So,
and to all of our listeners, doing these types of, like, actually visiting a shop and going into a shop and interviewing someone is something that we really want to do more of. So if you have someone you would like to nominate, or you want to nominate yourself, like, please send us an email. We would love to, like,
hear your story,
meet more people. And if you want to support us being able to do this together in person, buying our letterpress supply guide or our merch is, like, the number one way to give the podcast financial support, so that we actually can travel together and, like, do the interviews in person and give you, like, a really good in-depth, like, one of the things we talked about is, even though we've done interviews before, the fact that we were with Mary, like, we really got to, like, know her and talk to her, and it was such a good flowing conversation because we were all there in person seeing the shop and looking at things and asking questions, and she was pulling out the scrolls and, like, showing us these giant plates, and it was just, like, it's really cool, and it's all stuff that we could, like, pass along to you and share to you. And then, like, bring it into your world so you can either do more research on it or maybe become a part of something. And it's only possible, like, by people supporting the podcast.
Absolutely. So you can do all of that at hotoffthepresspodcast.com.
Thank you.
You can also visit us on social media and sharing our podcast episodes, our posts, and commenting on them, messaging us. All of that helps get us on new eyeballs. So, yes. Love that. And you can also visit Mary's website to purchase some of her prints, cards, which are fucking hilarious.
They're so good, guys.
So funny.
They're so good. You're going to need a whole set.
And support Mary in her future endeavors as well. She's got big plans for, you know, serving the community. She also does some really amazing events at her studio where you can come in for open houses. You could have a print party there. So definitely be sure to check out her website, which is mcbrunopress.com, and that's M as in Mary, C as in Cat, brunopress.com. We will also be sharing in stories, you know, after this episode airs, and we'll have a link in the show notes. But go check her out. She does some really amazing Did You Know series and talks about type on her Instagram page. So definitely check out her stuff. Buy a greeting card or two. You'll definitely find something that's hilarious, because she's got something for everybody for sure. So thanks, Mary, and thanks to all of our listeners. And we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Bye.